It's the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. On July 26, 1990, President George H.W. Bush signed the Americans with Disabilities Act. The landmark law turns 30 this Sunday. The ADA barred discrimination against people with disabilities in housing, public accommodation, and employment. It provides protections many people may assume have always been the law of the land, but before the ADA, far more people with disabilities lived in institutional settings, had difficulty or could not enter public places, and had no recourse when denied a job. Lex Fridin was there from the beginning, in fact, before the beginning. He is director of the Independent Living Research Utilization Program at Tier Memorial Hermann Rehabilitation Institute in Houston. He's also been called one of the chief architects of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Professor Fridin, welcome to the Texas Standard.
David, I'm glad to be here with you today.
Tell us a little bit more about life for people with disabilities before the ADA. Could you explain for us or describe for us a bit about what kinds of physical and institutional barriers were in place before passage of the Act?
You know, people who can't remember that far back or people who weren't yet born have a hard time imagining how life was before the ADA. At that point, no one with a disability, and certainly not a mobility impairment, a sensory impairment, or a cognitive or intellectual disability could have free access. I mean, even the sidewalks had barriers. There were no curb ramps. We take that for granted today. If you went to a movie theater in a wheelchair, even if you could get in the theater itself and manage to find yourself a space in the aisle, the fire department would come and move you away because you were a fire hazard. And if you tried to get into a university, you might be told the university has a policy that will not accept people with disabilities. I myself actually applied to a university and was told I couldn't come because simply because of the fact I used a wheelchair for mobility.
Well, how did it ultimately come about? Because people with disabilities have been advocating for increased rights for some time. Were there certain individuals or certain events that seemed to break the logjam?
Way back in the 60s, when the veterans began to return from Vietnam with disabilities, they made it clear that they were not feeling welcome because they couldn't get into building stores, they couldn't get jobs. And most of that was on account of their disabilities, not their service. And then about the same time, people with disabilities obviously were cognizant of the civil rights movement. And finally, people with disabilities in the mid-70s began to organize in cities, in states, and around the country. And a movement sort of took root. Those kinds of actions in cities across America created a sort of awareness, but it never led to anything until 1986, when a small federal agency called the National Council on Disability produced a report called Toward Independence. And that report recommended a law like ADA. Vice President Bush took a hold of the report and said he wanted to make it real. 2 years later, he was elected president. And then the Congress got behind the ADA, and it eventually passed, and the president was able to sign it July the 26th, 1990.
We were talking about some of the changes since the ADA, or what it was like before it was passed. And as you say, we've all encountered curb cuts, accessible restrooms, but there's a great deal more to the law. Could you maybe bullet point some of the basic elements of the ADA?
Well, the ADA is essentially a non-discrimination law, and it basically says you can't treat people with disabilities, people with impairments, people with physical, sensory, psychiatric, intellectual, people with any type of disability. You must accept that they are equal, and that means removing readily achievable barriers and providing reasonable accommodation. Those two phrases, readily achievable and reasonable accommodation, are important because they were put in the law to avoid breaking the business backs of certain small businesses. The vision of ADA is full participation by people with disabilities in our economy, in our society, in our schools, in our workplace, and so on.
And I suppose we should point out, too, that the ADA hasn't been static in these 30 years. It has grown and evolved in the way it affects the lives of people, right?
It has. Later in the 1990s, there was a court case in Georgia, and the Supreme Court ruled that the state of Georgia, and for that matter, any other state, had to ensure that people who were able and capable, fully able to live in the community, were supported in the community mm-hmm. rather than institution. It's called the community first provision by the Supreme Court. And that was a real landmark decision based on the Americans with Disabilities Act. Right now, there's an outstanding issue related to the internet. People who have certain issues navigating websites or hearing or seeing material that is streaming are left out of the virtual world. And that needs to be addressed now through probably new regulations that will clarify their rights to have full access to the web.
What about areas in which protections for people with disabilities may need to be strengthened? And you mentioned the internet, for example, but as we think about 30 years since the signing of the ADA, are there any huge gaps that need to be addressed still?
Employment continues to be a problem in the sense that the unemployment rate among people with disabilities who are qualified, able to work, and want a job is not much better. Things have not improved in the employment front since the law was passed. There's about the same proportion of the population who are trying to seek work who are not employed. And that's hard to figure. It may be partly because employers have learned new subtle ways to discriminate, but we don't know. Now, I think with the COVID pandemic, people with disabilities have been able to demonstrate that they are simply as productive as non-disabled people in the workplace, and this will probably be a benefit.
Do you recall the day that the ADA was signed and your feelings on that day?
Actually, I recall the night before the ADA was signed. I had a distant cousin who was a producer at CNN, and he invited me to the CNN studios in Washington the night before ADA was signed. And serendipitously, I was there when the CNN news director in Washington was online with the CNN news director in Atlanta, determining what the program would be for the next morning. And CNN director said, we'll cover the ADA signing tomorrow morning in little short broadcasts, maybe a little clip once an hour. But he said, we're not going to take the whole network off the air and direct it to the White House for a 30-minute or an hour-long signing ceremony. And I said, please give that some thought, because this will affect people all over the country and, frankly, all over the world. Well, the CNN director in Washington said, okay, maybe we can take the domestic network to the signing ceremony for 30 minutes. And the Atlanta news director said, you know, as long as we're going to do that, let's put the international network together with the domestic network. He said it'll be an exception, but maybe it's worth doing. That signing ceremony was carried around the world. It was front page news in every newspaper in the United States. And I think at that point in time, we probably educated and made more people aware of the abilities of people with disabilities and the discrimination they faced in the process of trying to be full participants. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience and a great day.
Lex Fridin is professor of health informatics at the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston. He's a former chairman of the National Council on Disability, and this weekend he will participate in ADA 30, an online celebration of the 30th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. We'll have a link to the full program over at texasstandard.org, including more information on the ADA. Professor Fridin, thanks so much for taking time to speak with us on the Texas Standard.
Dave, thanks so much for having me.